Electricast.
Hello, welcome to Missing the Point. This is actually a live, we're not broadcasting live because like everyone's watching the draft, but we're watching the draft live. It just clicked over 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And in our respective time machines, I'm here with Hollywood Ray Buchanan. We're watching the draft live together. We're sponsored by Courtyard by Marriott. No, sorry. The draft is sponsored by Courtyard by Marriott. We're sponsored by a lot of different, you know, really wonderful people. But Ray, are you excited for the draft? I feel like this is the first draft I've given a shit about this much ever, to be honest. As obviously as a Bears fan, I think I'm about to see my team draft Caleb Williams unless they do something absolutely muggy. But I am curious what they're going to do at 9. We discussed this briefly, but really what I want to start with is I don't know what the Pats are going to do. Do you know what the Pats are going to do here?
No, I mean, I think they're locked into it. I think that they've been trying to do a lot of smoke and mirrors, which is what every...
They're going to draft a QB. We get that part, but who? You know,
yeah, which I mean, I know every team at the top, you know, somewhat does. I mean, the most intriguing one to me as far as if they chose to trade back was trading back to 6 with the Giants and getting 6. Getting a second rounder and then getting a first next year, because I don't see the Giants doing really well in the foreseeable future.
Especially they might be an 0-17 team come next year.
Yeah, I mean, once again, like, we'll get into that later on when we get back into the full swing of football. But yeah, I just think that, you know, they should stay pat, you know, pun intended. And if you love the quarterback there, get him. So if that's Drake May, get him. If it's Jaden Daniels, get it. If it's J.J. McCarthy at that number,
don't get him.
If you love the guy, once again, this is not the fan perspective. This is if they love.
Who do you want? Who do you want him to pick?
So I want May. I want Drake May.
I would want Drake May too. I think I mentioned oscillated between him and Jaden Daniels as like the second best QB in the draft, but
yeah,
I think Drake May on just pure like physicals. You know, I really think you can just get him in there and teach him some shit. I think Jaden Daniels really reminds me of Justin Fields. I think he's going to hit every athletic marker that you set out for him. Right. He's a little skinny, but I don't see him in New England. It just doesn't make sense to me in my head. Does that make sense to you? Drake May just feels
there was,
more
there was
like
a time. There was a time when I would have been okay with it, because as someone who watches the SEC pretty closely, because I am a Florida Gator fan for college football. He gave us, in the words of LeSean McCoy, crazy work. Like, he went off on us. And I was like, well, that would look nice in Foxborough, you know, him running for 150 and throwing for
250. He had some great weapons, too. You know, I mean, program was really, really great. I think there's a lot to say for that. I just mean that to make you feel better about Florida. You know, I feel like LSU gave a lot of people a lot of work over the last couple of seasons.
So. Yes, exactly. But yeah, that game in particular, I was sick to my stomach. I was like, wow, he's really doing whatever he wants to do. I'm like, it is what it is. But yeah, he's there. And then, you know, obviously, you know, it's only round one tonight. You know, obviously recording this on night one. I'm looking for them to go receiver early in the second round.
Yeah, you need someone. And it's such a stacked receiver class. So, like, there's so many good receivers.
Yeah, so probably the kid out of South Carolina, Xavier Leggett. Looks like Debo 2.0. So hopefully he can be that guy up here. So yeah, I mean they have a lot of options. So they have pick 3, pick 34, pick 68. So those are the first three picks. So I wouldn't mind going tight end in that third round. There's a kid from Texas named Jatavion Sanders
he's nasty.
Beast. And so
this is the thing about the wide receiver draft class.
I don't think he'll be there. He won't be there.
I think that people are really I'm worried. I'm not worried. That's not the right word. I'm thinking the phenomenon might happen this draft where some wide receivers start to drop down the board because everybody's very confident that it's a super, super deep wide receiver class. So I almost like, do I, you know, is Marvin Harrison Jr. going to go 4th? Probably, but he's not going to get past like 6th or 7th, right? Like there's just no way. Romo Dunze, if he makes it to 9, I wouldn't be like terribly upset if the Bears chose him, but I don't know. I mean, I just feel like you could just spend, and we don't have that many picks, but like you guys could spend one draft pick in the 3rd or 4th round and you could get a legitimate wide receiver, at least 2, right? Like to start to build around that offense, right? And give him something. What do you make of this wide receivers potentially going at 31 to the 49ers, and they're going to trade the Patriots' Brandon Ayuk. NBC Sports Boston breaking news.
So I would love that.
Obviously, right? I mean, obviously, yeah, right?
That would be ideal. Like, obviously, like, I put that in the pipe dream category. So whether it's getting Ayuk,
it's getting traction, bro.
Yeah, T. Higgins also is someone that they franchised him, I think, so in Cincinnati. So I think he's off the table.
Did they? I heard he was agitating for a move.
Oh, I don't know why I thought they maybe they say a franchise receiver. I don't know, but because the franchise receiver should be Ja'Marr Chase, but I get it. Like, he's very good in his own right. But I mean, he's another guy that, you know, we've been asking for up here down at Route 1. But I don't know. They have options. I mean, I know they went after, you know, Calvin Ridley, you know, but they didn't place a big enough bet.
Yeah, dude. Listen to this, though.
You know, that's what it is.
I don't know what's going on over there in Cincinnati, but their Pro Bowl defensive end, Trey Hendrickson, requested a trade yesterday. And then right at the same time, pretty much, T. Higgins requested a trade. So there's a lot of motherfuckers trying to get out. I mean, I don't want to go crazy here, but does that tell you that maybe they know something about Joe Burrow's injury that we don't know?
I just think that it's like maybe Cincinnati's not looking to pay them. I don't think it's that. Because, I mean, of course, who in their right mind wouldn't want to play with Joe Burrow? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, so, Trey Hendrickson, it's like, why? Like, he's like a stud edge rusher. Just pay those guys now. Like, he's due $50 million a season. That's not crazy. I mean, it's not low, but it's not insane. You can make that work. You know,
I mean, Joey Bosa got the money he got. I always love seeing Goodell getting booed.
I'm a little worried the Bengals aren't running that organization correctly in order to get the most out of their fucking all-star quarterback, to be honest.
I mean, fine by me. I mean, let's come. But isn't it great to see Roger Goodell get booed? It's awesome, isn't it?
It is awesome. I'm really enjoying that for no reason Eminem is there. I guess it's in Detroit. And
right, Detroit, yeah.
His own song. And he's just been really into football lately, I guess. Like, he's really getting involved. Probably because the Lions got better. Here we are. He's immediately given a little bit of street cred to Roger Goodell that he has not earned. He's like, check out my friend Eminem, everybody.
Right.
We're definitely totally friends. I mean, they're guys, right? So I feel like...
To me, they missed an opportunity. Maybe they couldn't pay him enough, but I was like, for them not to come out to lose yourself is criminal. Like, come out to lose yourself, like, that. How do you not come out to that?
He's probably bored of hearing it.
Listen, as a fan, I'm like, I need it. Inject it into my veins.
Man, it's a banger.
Or to collapse something, you know?
So here's everybody else.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm feeling the suits, man. But listen, we gotta go to this at one point, man, and
go to the draft.
I would love to do a show from there. Love to.
That would be cool, like a remote, like back in the day, do a remote.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool though.
Oh, hey Barry, let's go.
This is Detroit. This is like Detroit crack right now. It's like they brought out a whole charcuterie board of all their favorite people.
Who's my guy Scott Mitchell though?
It's nice. You know, it's probably going to really help the economy there.
Yeah, for sure, big time. Even last year, like when I went to SummerSlam, like it was packed. And you know, shout out to Eminem.
How was that?
Great. It was awesome.
Didn't you just go to WrestleMania?
Yeah, WrestleMania was in Philly, but I was saying SummerSlam had their event in Detroit last year in August. And shout out to Eminem's restaurant, Mom's Spaghetti, really fire.
Was it good?
It was good.
They gave you spaghetti and like fucking marinara sauce at Mom's Spaghetti. It was good.
Mom's Spaghetti, you know.
I mean, you're hearing it from an East Coaster right now. You're hearing it from a Boston.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, no, it was fire. Yeah, it was fire.
Fuck around with spaghetti in Boston.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Unless you go to the North End, right? So you know, it's dope. I need that jacket. That jacket is cold. I need that.
No, I wore this Erlager jersey I'm wearing. I wore it to a Y2K party the other day. Because remember, we used to drip out in football jerseys and we just don't anymore. Like, it's just not a thing. Like, what was it like the Like, they were actually selling football jerseys that weren't to real teams. Like, FUBU would just make one. And it was just, it would just be like a random
right, color. That's right.
And we would just ride. It's like Malibu's Most Wanted era.
Yeah.
Where we would just, and I like owned this Urlacher jersey. And people were like, it's, did you just get it? I'm like, I've literally had this since I was 15. It's in pristine condition because it fell out of style to wear it out of the house at a certain time.
Yep. So,
it's just in good condition. Yeah. I think we're about to see Caleb Williams get drafted. Do you think that there's a possibility that the Bears are going to do something dumb here?
They're going to draft Drake May.
do you think that there's someone's entertained a trade? Would they be dumb to entertain a trade proposal?
I mean, you always field all calls. Like, you don't,
of course,
you don't say I'm not going to listen. Like, you always listen to see if a team is going to be like Mike Ditka and give you everything for like the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So like that to me is always worth entertaining. But yeah, like clearly teams weren't blown away at the top to trade back, and I think it's gonna go to script. I think the first 5 to 6 picks, honestly.
Oh my god, I just got so scared because it said Bears, Panthers.
Oh, really?
And I was like, wait, what?
Man, I'm looking at that. I'm like,
Talking about the one where we fleeced the Panthers to get into this position in the first place. Like, I really legitimately almost just had a heart attack. This graphic just came up. Bears, Panthers trade. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I was about to end the show.
We feel bad for you guys. Let me give it back to you.
I know. I know.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Oh, Bears are on the clock. A minute has passed. We have not yet drafted Caleb Williams. I really wish they would just stop teasing.
I hate when... I know it's a different sport, but just like last year with the NBA, we knew it was just like January.
I know.
It was Wembanyama. Like, cut it out.
But that was even more nailed on than this. Like, Wembanyama was like the most prospect since Kevin Durant.
Just say that's the first pick and we go from there.
Caleb looks chilled. He looks chilled.
I mean, I would too. I know I'm about to get a guaranteed deal, you know?
He's about to get paid. Some pretty decent rookie money.
Yeah, and he deserves it.
I thought another 5th-year option for these guys. It takes 5 years for them to really start to make money.
Yeah. I also thought it was weird how the narrative tried to switch, you know, about him, you know, towards the end of last season, you know, because of whether it was him crying to his mom, whether it's.
I feel like people look for shit though, right? Like, you look for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
when you're not telling me football reasons, like to not draft, right, it's mechanics reasons, you know, I don't really give a shit, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, there was some gunslinger mentality there towards the end, but I felt like they wouldn't have had a chance to even win games.
He had to put the whole game on his back every time, though, right?
Exactly. He was throwing to Jerry Rice's son. I do think he's going to be a really good late round pick for somebody.
I drafted him in Madden. He was good.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So
I was like, is that Jerry Rice's kid? I looked it up and I was like, sure is.
There is. Yeah. Brendan Rice. Yeah. So, you know.
What a draft class for wide receivers. Marvin Harrison's kid, Jerry Rice's kid. That's fucking cool. What about the tight end? Is it Malik Nabers? Is the tight end that everybody's talking about? He's a wide receiver. Who's the tight end everybody's talking about? Brock?
Yeah. Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers.
Like I said, Jatavion Sanders from Texas, Theo Johnson from Penn State comes to mind. So
I liked Caleb's hair better when he was getting the Heisman. I don't know. This like scruffy look. I don't know.
What do you think? The Heisman. Shout out to Reggie Bush.
Got his Heisman back.
Heisman back. So I'm happy.
I feel like that was Johnny Manziel made that happen. He like tweeted. He was like,
And said that, hey, you know, we riot. You know, we rioted dawn.
I mean, it was bullshit that he got that.
Oh, big time. What's not big time is that orange suit that man got. What the hell's going on?
You know what's nice, though? I'll tell you, at least he went on to, like, have a pretty, you know, decent NFL career after all that bullshit happened. Like, if he just kind of faded away, like, we wouldn't be talking about his Heisman, like, robbery right now.
I mean, he's the best college football player I've ever seen.
What about Tim Tebow?
Listen, I'm a Gators fan. I love Tebow. Reggie Bush is the best college player I've ever seen in my life. And that Fresno State game sealed the deal. When he ran cross field and made like 10 dudes miss, I was like, yo, this man This man is incredible. And you was up late watching the game because they was on the West Coast. So it wasn't like you couldn't, you know, they wasn't playing at 12 o'clock all the time unless they played, you know, Notre Dame on the road. So you had to stay up to watch them play. And he was box office every time. So him, Lendale White, you know, Matt Leinart, Dwayne Jarrett, the other Steve Smith, you know, that team was loaded, man. Loaded.
Yeah, and that's a lot of good players.
But that was a good time for sure. But yeah. No, I was happy for him, though. Happy for him. I was like, okay, yeah, look at that. Of course, it's showing the tape against my Gators. See that? See what I'm saying?
I told you.
Yeah,
we're currently watching Jaden Daniels highlights in the Florida game. Featuring heavily.
Yeah, I'll say, oh.
I mean, he's cooking, though. Like, it's not like it's bad coverage, you know? He is dropping absolute dimes.
Yeah, dropping dimes.
He's very college football oriented, though, as a QB, don't you think? Like, the way he moves in the pocket, like, it's all very college mechanics. Like, I think there's a lot of, like, his footwork's not, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert in this kind of thing, but I feel like I'd worry about his footwork. I always worry about Justin's footwork. Like, every time, like, I felt like Justin would make the decision to run before he properly went through his reads. And I think when you have that, like, that much of an asset in your back pocket, you use it, you know, like you go to it because you know it'll like work a lot of the time. But I worry about that with Jaden Daniels. Like, I think if you guys get Drake May, you might have a project on your hands. I think you'll definitely have a project on your hands, but I think it's a better bet than Mac Jones was, which is easy to say.
Listen, I will send you a Drake May jersey out west. Like, like, I'll send you a red one. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready for that era. We're all ready. So it's time. Is that mom? Mom looks like Queen Latifah there.
I didn't see her, but I hope so.
Yeah. You know, Humanity. You know, it's like,
oh, you mean like cool Queen Latifah, like before she went mainstream?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Back when she was just like kind of a hard rapper.
Yep. And then, no, but Living Single, Queen Latifah was cool too. You know, Living Single was a great show.
Yeah, but I didn't love like do a rom com with Steve Martin, Queen Latifah.
No.
I'm not a huge fan of like action star on TV, Queen Latifah. I'm like, I don't buy it.
Oh, yeah. No, facts. But no, but so here we go. So now they're all shaking hands, they're hugging
each
other.
They're all clapping and shaking hands. They've made their pick.
Like, it's like, what a joke, though. Like, you've known it's December. Cut it out. So here
goes. You're right. You're right. I mean, they're celebrating like they just decided.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So here we go. So I'll let you sit back and enjoy this moment.
Thanks for sharing this moment with me. This could be an historic moment.
Yeah, it could be. And once again, especially when I was the one that was on the least amount of football shows, I feel like, collectively, that I'm on as well.
That noise. You heard that noise.
With the first pick.
I'm nervous. Thank God. Oh, thank God.
It's like, hey.
There he is, Chicago.
There he is. Let's get it.
He's happy.
Let's get it.
He's happy. He's the first pick. He looks delighted, honestly. He looks delighted. He looks like a real weight has been lifted off his shoulders. Like, this has been a lot of buildup for him.
Oh, yeah. To hear your name called, once again,
he's walking with a lot of confidence.
It was cool. Like, I had a family member that played in the NFL, right?
Oh, that's cool.
You actually know who he is. He coached in Green Bay, Philadelphia as well. Name is actually Ray Rhodes. So, we coached in the 90s, 80s, whatever. But anyways, it's always cool, like, to hear, so you hear your name. And that's you know, whether it's the first round, fifth round, you know, in those days, the 10th round, you know, you want to hear your name. So, and if to be number one, like, that's dope. It looks good. Orange or blue, baby. It looks good, doesn't it?
He looks like a bear. He looks like a bear. He looks like it fits.
Let's see. Let's go. That show would have been crazy had it been in Chicago, though. Like, if the draft was there in Chicago, I feel like you probably...
I love it. I love the reflection on Detroit right now. Yeah, I love the absolutely fucking styling on Detroit. We just drafted a generational QB. We're about to fuck them up next 10 years. We're about to absolutely... The dude is about to absolutely torture them for the next 10 years. Just walked up on the stage in their hometown. I love that. This is the best away game he's ever going to play.
Man, they're out there, though. Bears fans are out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that long of a drive, you know, division rivals.
Right. So, okay. Love that.
I'm into it. I'm into this pick. I feel good about it. I love Justin. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that a guy that with this much generational potential talent came up and everything aligned the way it did, I would have been happy to keep riding with Justin for a couple more years. I'm really happy he ended up in Pittsburgh, to be honest. I think it's a really good program, and he gets to sit for a year now. I wish we were in a position where we could have Caleb sit for a year, to be honest. I really think there's like nothing more beneficial to a QB. But I mean, we just obviously we know that like that's a nice thing to do for a young quarterback, you know,
is
like let him exist in the NFL for a year. So there's ways to cheat it. And I think the way to cheat that is you get him a fuck ton of good players. And they did a really smart thing, I think, by improving our backfield with DeAndre Swift. He's a receiving option, sure, but he's also like, I think he's going to be able to, he just was with Jalen Hurts for however many years. Like he's going to be able to run these option plays with Williams. I don't think Caleb's going to run a ton in the NFL. I think he'll be like improvisational when need be. I think that's the biggest thing we're going to have to watch is if he learns. Like people compare him to Patrick Mahomes, but the thing that Patrick Mahomes did is he learned how and when to do what. And now he's just a guy who makes the exact correct decision in every single situation. And like that's why he's the best guy in the NFL. Does he have other tools? Of course. Like does he have a great like arm? Of course. Like does he have a great zip on the ball? Yes. All the things are there. The one thing we don't know about Caleb Williams is like what kind of a decision-making quarterback he's going to be, because quite honestly, since Tom Brady, that's what you need to win football games. You need a QB that is going to make the right choices in crunch time, or, you know, and in important situations for the momentum as you go. And I think like we've seen guys in the NFL fail based on one or two decisions in a big game. You know what I mean? Like we've seen really, really talented QBs fail. Like markedly fucking talented. Like Andrew Luck was the best prospect I think we'd ever seen in our lifetimes come into the NFL, right? Like just as far as like prospect status and what he was able to accomplish. And he has a winning season, his first season in the NFL. And you're basically thinking like, it's just a countdown until Andrew Luck's going to win a Super Bowl. But a tiny like set of circumstances make it so that he has to retire mega early and we never see him win a championship, you know? I mean, there's arguments to be made for what kind of a team they put around him sort of consistently across those years. But I mean, it was really what got him out of the game was just sort of bad luck. So no pun intended. So it's just like, you know, you never know with these things. You never know what you're going to see coming out of these guys. I think his Caleb Williams' talent is undeniable. It's really just going to be about what is going on up between the years. And even then, I don't think that that's like 100% everything. You need a little luck. You know, you need things to break your way. Tom Brady himself, like he played a million years. So like this didn't destroy his career, but he went down for a whole season at the start of a season and Matt Castle had to come in. And like, you know, we didn't know what he was going to look like coming back from injury. You know, we didn't know like, and that you lose a year with a team that you're building around him when stuff like that happens. So I don't know. I mean, the Tom Brady conversation is far, far, far away from like, you know, draft day. But to me, I feel really like we got somebody super talented and it's really going to be on the coaching staff. I think it's smart. Like just leave the coaching staff in place and just let them try and work it out. Like now we're all young. All the contracts are young and let's just try and figure this thing out. You just ride with them, because if you do what we did to Justin and you just keep switching coaches on him, obviously Nagy had to go. But if you keep switching coaches on him, it's like, come on, man. Like, what do you expect? What do you expect him to be able to do? He has to learn a new offense every season. And I just don't think that works. You know, that's not sustainable. So we'll see. I mean, Mander's pick is in.
So we saw it up here, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not as if, like, Cam Newton wasn't, like, a talented quarterback. You know? I mean, I don't know if he was in his prime when he came to New England, but he's a talented quarterback.
Yeah, definitely wasn't, but I think there was a lot of nagging injury that just didn't, you know, it finally
caught him. A lot of shit happens, though. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of stuff goes down. It could be that, I mean, the Bears basically went from, we had a pretty decent defense built and a decent little team put together. Maybe not Super Bowl winning, but the double doink happened to us. And that was basically the end of Mitch. Like, he was just, like, never the same after that. And that was it. Like we were done. Like we basically went from being like, maybe they go this way, maybe they go that way, to like, we're definitely going this way. Cause it just wrecked the team. It just burned everybody's fucking heads out, you know? So it's like these little things can happen. I mean, and you guys, you guys built on success. You know, you built that culture up. People say, oh, Patriot Way, did it really exist? It's like, for when it existed. You know what I mean? Like when you could remain there forever, that doesn't mean that you weren't able to like point at Tom Brady when a guy came in to the program and be like, that's the dude you're playing for.
Right.
You know, and like your standards immediately go up. You build on success, you build on fucking failure. All right, let's see who the
I'm nervous right now.
It's going to be Jaden Daniels.
I'm nervous.
Told you.
Drake May, you are a patriot, baby. Let's go. Woo. Oh my God.
You're happy then, I gather?
Once again, I didn't mean cool to get him, but I'm like, listen, Drake May, you are a patriot, baby. Let's go. Oh my God. Love that. But listen, Schefter had reported it a couple weeks ago. He was like, get ready, Commanders fans, get the JD jerseys ready. So
yeah, this is pretty obvious too, I think. Everyone seems pumped.
Yep, the Robert Griffin comparison is going to happen right away too.
You hear his dumbass though every week, still doubling down on that take of like the Bears should Caleb Williams should do an Eli Manning and not go to the Bears. It's like, bro, it's legitimately the best situation that everyone's pick has walked into, like maybe ever. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why would he possibly do that? That would be so stupid. Like, there's so many good players on this team now.
Yeah. I'm happy for Jaden Daniels. Happy for him. I think that, like I said, yeah, he's gonna look good. Chocolate City, you know, let's ride.
Yeah, yeah. So who do they have though? They traded away.
They got Terry McLaurin, dude from Ohio State.
He's good.
If Curtis Samuel could be what he was before he got there, then he's a good option as well. But yeah, I mean, listen, Dan Quinn is going to be a run first guy. You know, that's just how he runs an offense. So it made sense today when they got Jaden Daniels here at two.
He's gonna put some highlights together for us this year, I think.
Oh, for sure.
See some breakout plays.
Yeah,
He can take a hit too.
Yep. So we'll see. So all right, New England's on the clock, baby. Let's go. Let's go. I doubt that they'll be in there hugging each other, but they may. You know, we'll no longer see Nike the dog.
I don't know, man. The culture is different now. You know, you got Gerard Mayo as your coach. It's not Bill anymore. It's time to start accepting that things might be different. It might be a hugging environment now. They might just be huggers now. You don't know. It might be touchy-feely Patriot Way. Oh, Patriot Way 2.0. Share the love.
Well, they better share the love and drop Drake May at three. Yeah, that's the line.
I mean, I'll tell you this. If Bill Belichick was still your head coach /GM, whatever happened, you'd be sitting there shitting yourself that he was going to trade away this third overall pick for some.
He for sure. Like, he would have traded with Minnesota and got 11-23. He absolutely would have done that. Absolutely. And he would have got a tackle at 11 and a safety at 23. That's what he would have did. And so, you know, I just thought that those guys were, you know, had a lot of value there.
I was thinking there was a chance the Bears are going to trade one for Herbert.
Oh, pick is in, Danny. Let's go. Pick is in, Danny. Trade. Pick is in, baby.
The new era. It's a new thing right in New England.
Come on, let's get it. Yeah, that's great. All right.
Honestly, everything's going as expected so far. So I predict this is going to be Drake May. I don't think any mock drafts really had anything getting spicy yet, right?
Probably five is probably, I think, the pick that might get traded, which is the
four. I heard some rumors about four that the Vikings are trading up to get JJ, which I would think would be funny.
Right. I mean, especially when it's like, you know, you have Herbert there signing that long deal. You know what I'm saying? So
I am looking at one mock draft that has the Giants trading up to get Drake May.
Got you.
Okay. You guys, and they give you like a million picks, but that obviously hasn't happened. So.
Right. Yeah. So congrats to those guys.
And then you get McCarthy at six.
I pick Ramsey. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh man, Patrick Ridge, I forgot about him. Wow.
I gotta say, that is not a murderer's row of QB.
It's not. It's not.
Right now, listeners, they're showing just the graphic of all the first round QBs that the Washington Commanders now, but formerly a different team name, has drafted. And Jaden Daniels is not in esteemed company, I have to say. It's not a great crew of ball throwers. I guess the best guy on that list other than Daniels is probably Robert Griffin, but I mean, he was not a success by any.
Unfortunately he got hurt. But it's just
I don't know if he was.
Oh, okay. So here we go. They're showing the picture. Yeah, I told you. Ain't no hugging going on. Everybody's in suits. You know, probably
that's because Robert Kraft's not allowed to touch any of the employees anymore. There's a new contract in place. So
I'm not going there.
Following the rules, HR has set up.
Dre May looks like Tom Brady, though, doesn't he?
I mean, he looks like Tom Brady in a suit. He doesn't look like Tom Brady in a football jersey. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, not at the moment.
Does he look like Tom Brady? I don't know. I don't really see it. I do think that.
Well, like, I
wouldn't say that his profile of QB is a Tom Brady profile, though. I'd say he probably more resembles a Ben Roethlisberger, Josh Allen, if you were really lucky. Right? It's where
here
more.
Here
where
we go. Here we go.
It's going to be Drake May.
I know. Here we go. Pick is in. Yes, sir. Welcome to Foxborough, baby. Welcome to Foxborough, J May, baby. Let's get it. Let's go. Love to see it. Love the pick. Once again, I started bringing this guy up in October and November when we started doing our weekly Monday shows with Mike. And some people on our YouTube was like, oh, you crazy? He doesn't do X, Y, and Z. I'm like, listen, this guy is the real deal. So I'm glad he's here. It worked out perfectly. Once again, he's 6'5", about 225, 230. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Now just get the receiver at 34. Obviously, we won't know about that till tomorrow because it's only round one tonight. But yeah, let's get it. I'm here. I'm here for it. So yeah, Drake May, you're a patient, baby. Love it.
Congratulations on the new era.
Yes.
In New England.
Yeah, get the jerseys, baby. Get the Gillette. I'm coming to you in about a month to get the jersey. You know,
It's gonna be May.
That's right. I love it. Oh man, that's awesome. Now, speaking of, because there's some other guys from that team that's in the draft. His running back, Amarion Hampton. I would love to get him here. His receiver, Vontaze Walker, is also a pretty good receiver. He'd be good in the third or fourth round. So if he's there, get guys he's comfortable with and bring him here. So, wow, with a left-hand throw, I had not seen that highlight. That was pretty gold. That was pretty dope. You know, someone in Boston has a left hand. But don't worry, we'll get into that in an hour or two.
What do you think of the Josh Allen comparisons with this guy? You think it's realistic?
Body-wise, yes. Like, prototype, absolutely. Don't know if his arm is as strong as Josh Allen, but, you know, it is.
His brain might be a little stronger, though, so that might put you in contention.
Say again?
His brain might be a little stronger, though. It's really what you need if you're looking at stronger than Josh
correct,
Allen.
Correct. So, yep. So, that's, you know, we'll see how that goes, but... I mean, but yeah, I'm excited. I think Harrison goes here though at four.
Well, we'll keep one eye on it. I think, unfortunately, it's probably time to dive in and talk about your Boston Celtics. Were you at the game yesterday?
I was at the game. So yes, like I said, as promised, like I said, we did talk about the draft, but now we're going to get into some things Celtics. So yeah, so you know, game one, obviously Boston won 114 to 94, and then Miami came back with a barrage of their own and won last night 111-101. So just what were your thoughts as that game was unfolding? Just because like I said, I have a few thoughts on myself, but just, you know, what was your thoughts as that game unfolded last night?
I think it started with like typical, like, this is how we're gonna do this. We started missing free throws, typical. We started making bad decisions offensively for multiple periods. I thought the rotations were completely wrong and off. I thought Jaylen Brown was the only one doing anything, but he was also still missing free throws. I thought that when he started playing well and going to the cup in like the third quarter, I thought that
everybody just started standing around watching him, which is such a fucking thing that this team does in situations like this. I thought Tatum was a fucking ghost when we needed him most, which is not the first time I've said that. Porzingis looked absolutely dog shit. I don't know what the fuck was going on with him. I'm cool to give him a pass. He's got a lot of credit in the bank with me. It's okay to have a bad game. Kristaps Porzingis, this is the overall moral of the story. Kristaps Porzingis should be able to have a bad game. Kristaps Porzingis and Jason Tatum should be able to have a bad game. And you should still be able to beat the Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat. Like, that's just 100% true. Yet again, we make role players, like full-blown role players, look like absolute studs on the road. On the fucking road. Like, they look like they had absolutely been allowed to get into a rhythm in Miami. They're role players. And I'll tell you why. The absolute most egregious sin of yesterday was how fucking lazy and how late we were on every defensive rotation for the entire game. We gave them so many good looks. Like, and I'm not even talking wide open shots. Like, we gave a few of those away, but we were so late to all the help. It's almost more encouraging because we get there, but we look raggedy, we look tired, and we give them kind of an opportunity to basically shoot it in our fucking face and still make it because we haven't gotten there, spotted up, and put our hands up. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not even them earning the looks. You know, it's just us, like, as per fucking usual in the playoffs, not fighting around screens properly, switching when we wouldn't switch. We're not as guilty of that without Marcus in the team because he just called switch on every single fucking play. And I've realized that now that was kind of him. He would just switch on everybody. And that was just him being him. But switching when we shouldn't. Al Horford, I thought, was trying to set a tone defensively. But I think we were like kind of overly, tell me if you think this is true. We were kind of overly concentrated on like Bam. And like we kind of kept Tyler Hero quiet for like a minute. And then we just sort of gave up on keeping Tyler Hero quiet. He hit like 3 threes in a row then. Drew just like kept getting shook. I don't know what the fuck was going on there. Jaylen Brown got shook a couple times like around screens. They were setting good screens. Like, don't get me wrong. They were setting really, really good screens and they were playing really hard. But it's just annoying to me that every time they play us a little bit hard, if their shots fall, they fucking kill us. You know what I mean? Like we had a little bit of a response where it was like, guys, like we're the better team. Like eventually those threes will start to dry up. Let's just start taking high percentage looks. And we would do that for a minute. And it was like, you would just see Tatum come through the middle and just slam one down. I'm like, okay, great. More of that. And then they just go back to like space and shoot, you know, they just go right back to space. And it's like, guys, like you have to wait a second. You have to build back up to that. Like, you can't just be like, okay, we made a couple shots. Like, now let's just go back to what wasn't working. And we just let them go on runs. Like, honestly, they need to play harder defense. They look so fucking disinterested. That's my main thing. I mean, offensively, I think, like, you know, there was moments I liked. There was things I enjoyed. I thought, like, I was advocating for, like, more of a mid-range game. I thought Tatum's, like, only looked good from the mid-range, really, yesterday. Like, he had a couple nice, like, little turnaround jump shots, which I really enjoyed. I thought Jaylen was really strong going to the rack. Tatum was strong going to the rack a couple times. But again, they do that and they clear out Porzingis and it's just like, dude, just get him closer to the cup and let him start. And granted, he wasn't doing that great around the cup either when he was there, but or defensively, I don't know. He looked a little sluggish, a little tired, maybe. I don't know. Maybe playing Bam Adebayo is probably kind of hard. I get that. But they should be canceling each other out to a point where we're just killing everybody else on the team. And it was embarrassing. It was an embarrassing loss. There's no two ways about it. I mean, maybe they'll just come back and smash him 3 times in a row now, twice in Miami, and then bring him back home to Boston and beat him. But it creates a ton of worry. It creates worry about our home team, our home performances, and if that's going to rear its ugly head again, our ability to manage series and like not let them get away from us, our thing with the Heat in particular, like all this stuff starts to rear its ugly head. You got to really tamp that fucking down like immediately. And we haven't done that now. Now we have a lot of more questions than we have answers all of a sudden. And it was too early in the playoffs to be doing this.
Listen, I know, I mean, listen, Celtics Twitter went, I mean, when I say it went dark, you would have thought we lost the series last night. And
it was a pretty embarrassing loss though, Ray. I mean.
Absolutely. But I think I'd rather, and once again, because I believe that they're going to go far into the playoffs, I'd rather have this type of loss now than deeper into the playoffs. And I'm sorry, yes, people wanted to sweep Miami. Of course, with or without Jimmy, you want to sweep them. People can't say that guy is the best coach or one of the best coaches. Actually, no. People say he's the best coach in the league. You can't say he's the best coach in the league and think he's not going to at least get one. Like, that's that to me is insane. But I will say he has become.
Are you sure that was Spo, dude? Like, I just thought we looked.
Oh yeah, no, they definitely made the adjustment. I mean, granted, it's sometimes it is as simple as they made 23 threes. We've made 22 in game one. If a team is making 20 plus threes, they're going to win the game most.
But
likely.
If a team is getting fucking no pressure on the perimeter and not getting when they start doing it, it's one thing that for them to go on a little bit of a heater. Well, call a fucking timeout and tell your team, Joe, to go run them off the fucking lines, dude. Like, go pressure them. Like, fucking pressure them. Like, make every shot fucking hurt. I don't care if you give up a couple 3-point shot fouls. I don't fucking care. I want them run off those fucking lines. We're not playing the Warriors, dude. Like, they're not a fucking 3-point shooting team like that. Like, just go get them, dude. Just go rough them up. Just go rattle them. Like, come on. The Miami Heat set a franchise fucking record for threes on us last night. And I will tell you, that is not the best 3-point shooting Miami Heat team that I've ever watched. I don't know about you, but they used to be a hell of a lot fucking better at shooting from the outside than they are right now. Their best player is Bam Adebayo. He's the best player on the court for them. And they're fucking setting franchise records for threes made in a playoff game against us. That's unbelievably unacceptable.
Yep. Nope. I totally agree. I think, but it leads to what I'm going to bring up next because, you know, obviously, you know, people, since he took over, has been asking for Joe Mazzulla to get fired, right? And I think to an extent he earned some trust with some people over the break of the season, because when you go 64-18, that's a good record, regardless of what people think about him. Like, 64-18 is excellent. But what I want to ask you is, you know, most of that game plan, or all that game plan, really was what he was saying to them: hey, go under here, or, you know, leave so and so wide open. So just do you believe, or do you think that his stubbornness to adapt at times can cost them going forward? Because
yes,
and that's because at some point someone has to take over, in my opinion. But like I said, but we'll just stick to the coaching right now.
You mean Tatum? Yeah, I'm sure we'll come on to that. But I mean, obviously that was a big red flag for us. But as far as the coaching goes, dude, like, I'm sorry, man. Like, yeah, the adjustments he wasn't making were so fucking obvious. And like, it kills me. It kills me to watch him do that, because the part that annoys me is that I used to think this time last season, when we were talking about Joe and his playoff decision making, I used to think that he didn't know when to do the right thing and he was panicking. But I watched him do it in the regular season. I watched him get better during the regular season at making in-game decisions that helped us adjust and win games. And then post All-Star break, he started just doing this shit again, where his timeouts weren't terrible yesterday, but it was like, what we weren't making any adjustments coming out of them. And the most obvious adjustment was just like, yo, can we just contain their shooters? Like, can we just please fucking contain their shooters, for the love of God? Like, we have guys with wingspans, 7-foot wingspans, just not closing down their fucking shooters. You know what I mean? And it's just like Al Horford was. Like, I don't understand, dude. It's just basic basketball sense. You got to be yelling that at these guys, you know? And he said it to fucking Tracy at halftime. He was like, we got to close down the shooters better. But then it seems like you're saying he's not even really giving that instruction, like, clearly or effectively. It's like, I don't believe that.
Yeah. But it's got to be something, because it's like, it's, at some point it's just like, how. But my thing is, how do you even? And I get it, because maybe it worked a little bit better in game one. I get that, but
game one just came to us though. Like, every shot fell.
Right. But I'm like, I would never want a strategy to be, whether it's a great 3-point shooter team or not, I would never want the strategy to be, man, let's just see if they miss it. No.
Like, never do that. You'll get cooked on a given night.
That's not how it should be. So I'm not feeling that at all. So from that standpoint, like, yeah, things definitely do got to change. Once again, I did not jump off a deep end like some did. And once again, I still firmly believe that this team will make an amazing run and get back to the championship round. I really do.
But that's not what we've been talking about, though. I agree with you there. It's just that their frailties are the same frustrating frailties that have been there for like a long time now. And I think like, you know, I don't know if you want to move on to Tatum yet, but like,
Yeah, we can.
There's just things that, like, there's things that really scared me about his game yesterday. Like, really scared me.
Well, what scared me, not even scared me, what pissed me off, he was on fire in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And Joe Mazzulla says, let me take him out. It's not Joe Mazzulla, this is what any coach. That burns a hole in me like no other.
You gotta let it cook.
This is not.
You gotta let it cook.
It's not a January game, you know, against Detroit. It's not.
No.
It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
You ride to the wheels fall off. Yeah. Especially in these first three games, you had 2 days off in between each time. So if you could have went full Tom Thibodeau and played Tatum 48 minutes. Why not? Who cares? Why not?
Yeah,
who cares?
Playoffs, really said,
oh, you need a 4 day. Who cares? It's the fucking playoffs.
You're also, I would just argue.
Tatum went fucking ballistic in the first half. And I was like, he gave it to him.
I know. And he really cooled down so hard. And I just think, and then it was, you know, it was a wrap by the time he should have been getting anything going. But to be honest, like, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't like to see him come off when he gets hot. I think he is. Obviously, he's talented enough to, I wouldn't reduce him to saying he's like a heat check player or a volume player or anything like that. But like, he does, like all basketball players to a certain degree, like, you got to let him cook. And I would argue that if you're a fan upset about the idea of him playing 48 minutes, it's a lot more minutes to play seven games.
You know? Right.
It's just play four games. But if you play, I bet every NBA player will tell you they'd rather play four games of 48 minutes and then get a week off. I guarantee a week and a half. If you're the one seed. So, you know, to me, it's just like, just win all four games, dude. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you do it. We're in the fucking playoffs at this point. You know, it is what it is. Like, his body better be ready. You know, like, at the end of the day, like, you should be playing up until playoff momentum for your physical fitness. So he should be able to play 48 minutes.
He's always been the most durable on this team. Always. So I'm not hearing that you need to take him out. You know, and once again, he should be playing 42, 43 minutes, period. Like, and once again, because you can always tell with him when he starts off like that, you're like, okay, like it could be one of those nights. So he had 10 in a matter of 2 minutes. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're getting that guy tonight. Let's go. And then once again, 5 minutes in, you take him and Holiday out. Like, it's just like, I
got burned up by the Holiday sub too, because him and Jaylen Brown were creating this great like two-man defensive trap for anybody trying anything in the corner. Did you see that? Like, they had a couple turnovers, just the two of them, like, playing off guys. They tried to get it going again in the fourth and it just didn't really work because it was like, they kind of, you know, the spacing was different at that point, but they were playing genius.
The confidence was through the roof at that moment.
Genius two-man defense they were playing. It was like fucking great to watch. Yeah. You know, you know what, unfortunately, was strangely the turning point of the game is Drew missed a pass for because we got the ball. We turned the ball over twice, to ourselves at the end of the first half. And Drew missed the pass to Jaylen in the corner for like the last three. And Jaylen was hot. He was about to sink it. He was going to sink it 100 times out of 100. And he just overfired the pass. And then when that happened, we came out in the second half just cold as ice, dude. Like, everything was just fucking up. Like, Porzingis was like rebounds he would normally make, like, without even, like, he'd already be looking down the fucking court, you know, in these rebounding situations, and he was falling over, you know. Saw those like moments he's like slipping and falling, and I'm like, oh my god, it's really just not our night tonight. And maybe we could just chalk it up to that. Maybe that shit just happens, you know. It's like, all right, you know, so that anyone can lose a game of basketball, it can happen to the best of us, right? You know, it's not even like 96 Bulls won every single game. So, you know, I'm glad
I'm glad you just said that. The 96 Bulls lost games in the playoffs. The 2016 Warriors, who had the greatest fucking regular season of all time,
blew a 3-1 lead.
And I get it, because we're not as invested. So it's like, well, we don't care about that. We care about our team. But it's like, yo, there's no perfect way to win the championship. The goal is to advance. And once again, and I want to ask
you. We literally almost got knocked out in the first round in 08. It's
right. But that's what I'm saying. So Are the 0-8 comparisons fair? Because people are like, well, oh, that was a different team. I'm like, no, they literally was on the, I mean, granted, they smacked Atlanta in game seven.
Yeah,
oh,
fucked them up in game seven.
The Atlanta team was more talented than this Miami team. I'm like, now, I said, are we really having revisionist history and saying that we thought that Atlanta team was more talented? Now, granted, Joe Johnson.
It turned out that Atlanta team was.
No, Joe Johnson would have been the best player on this Heat team right now, for sure. Don't get me wrong.
Young Al Horford, like, I.
Yeah, you know, so yeah, I get that, but it's like, don't make it seem that team was 37-45. Like, don't make it seem like they were world beaters. And I was like, they were just really athletic. And at that time, you know, we could not do anything against teams that were athletic. Like, that was our kryptonite. If you was athletic, you had a shot against that Celtics team. And it was like that the whole time during the KG era. So, but once again, the goal is to advance. Like, is that's the goal. So, I don't know. I just, to me, I think it's too much. I get the concern. I get the frustration. But, you know, I just want to say, like I said, I'll say this again as when we close out the show at the end. If you're off the bandwagon after last night, as Jaylen Brown has said all year, please stay on that side.
No, obviously, you know.
Not so as you. I'm saying, but to Celtics Twitter, to those that's been on there, you know, fuck your Sanders team, Kendo. They'll never figure it out. They just never learn. They play so dumb. If and when they go through and win 3-4, and then obviously close out next Wednesday, I don't want to hear a soul about, oh, you know, I knew they had it. Fuck that. You got emotional. You thought it was over after game two. So just stay there.
I don't think anyone's saying it's over. That would be ridiculous. That would be an absurd
take. If you're right. I wish I could have shared most of the tweets I saw last night. Like, people were really off the deep end. And once again, there is not too many that's more emotional than the man that you're listening to right now. But even I, like I said, I'm, once again, was I mad about the loss? Of course. Like, of course. But I'm like, I can't see.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm mad about the loss.
I can't see a team. I can't see the team out East beating them 4 times out of 7. Once again, you may get a game here and there. Once again, there has never been a team to go 16-0 in the playoffs. Never. There's never been a team to go 16-0. Once again, the 0-1 Lakers was the closest thing. And then, like I said, some guy named Allen Iverson said, not so fast. So it's like,
I gotta tell you, in order to win a championship in any sport, but really just focus on the NBA, you gotta win the games you should win. Yes. You know, like, you gotta win the games you should win. And a game at home to a fucking Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat team, like, I think we're all well within our rights to be fucking annoyed with them right now. Like, it's just annoying. You know, it's annoying. It's fucking with everybody's schedule. You know, we were supposed to have this fucking one and done 4-0'd and you know, a couple weeks off to fucking collect our thoughts before we moved on to the next round.
I mean, trust me, I'm in the process of moving, and I was like, all right, you know, same thing with the Bruins. I was like, all right, great. You know, we went through,
changing the PTO at the last second.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, now I got to be there Tuesday. I got to be the next Wednesday. And I'm like, oh.
The whole fucking TD Garden's probably like, oh, great. Thanks, guys. We got to prepare for another huge event we weren't planning for.
The Brennan wants money.
No, I'm saying
the Jenkins family wants money.
I know, but what I'm telling you is, because we live in capitalism, we don't share the profits of our labor. I'm not saying there's a better system on here, but like, maybe there is. We don't share the profits of our labor, so now we got to go fucking just get shift wage. And that's the Celtics' fault. That's the fucking Celtics' fault. You got shit to do. You know? No, come on, guys. But you're right. I mean, like, we clipped the last show. It's talking about Jason Tatum and the isolation. It's just like, at some point, he's going to need to be able to turn it on in the fourth quarter and win a game when we're not playing well. Like, that just has to happen. Like, I need him to figure out how to be able to do that at will. I know it's asking a lot, but he's supposed to be one of the best three players in the league. Then he's going to have to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, fair. I mean, like I said, who knows? Maybe we see it, you know, Saturday night. Because, like I said, you know, we're not getting into much of the Bruins, but you know, people were. I know this because I was there. People were pissed at the game too. You know, oh, I didn't even fucking lose that game. You was up. You had two different leads at one point. Da da da. Well, they came to Toronto last night and they doubled up Toronto. They beat in their house. They beat them 4-2. In hockey terms, that's a blowout. So maybe we see the same thing come Saturday night down there in Miami. So once again, just chill. Once again, the Bruins coach made the adjustment. He put somebody in there.
Yeah, well, I'm just not sure Joe has that in his locker.
Well, I mean, it once again, it's either that. And Brad's not this guy to say this, but I'm sure, you know, maybe Wichter said it, and if he has, then he should. You know, your job is on the line. And once again, I don't think he should be fired. I want to be clear about that. But
you don't think if he loses to the Heat, he should be fired? In the first round of this team.
So as a fan,
I think he'd be lucky not to be guillotined in the fucking streets of Boston. To be honest, facts, yeah. Forget fucking fire.
From a fan perspective, absolutely. Like, yeah, you better not fucking lose to Miami this more. But I'm just saying, I just feel like we now know how Brad and company operate. They believe in continuity. Then they're not getting rid of him at this moment. What I could see happening, which is something that, you know, you've said in the past, either you promote somebody from the coaching staff, or what Grossberg does, what Mickey Arison did to Pat Riley years ago when they fired Stan Van Gundy, and he said, Pat Riley, this team is close, you go fucking coach him. And I think maybe Wick has a conversation this summer, if they don't win, the worst case scenario, he goes back to Brad and says, hey, I know you've done a hell of a job. You need to get back down on that sideline.
You remember how bad it was with Brad, though, at the end? Like, the players quit on, like, 100%.
That 2021 team, once again, Jaylen Brown ended up being out. You lose to Brooklyn in the first round with Kyrie Harden. And, like, Brad, when I look back at it now, Brad made miracles out of certain teams that shouldn't have had no business.
Oh, that's obviously.
That's why we're so mad. Because we're like, damn, we got this far with less, and we can't, you know, so that's really what I think people are getting upset about, and I totally get it. Totally get it. But yeah, I don't know. To me, the adjustment part, like I said, that has to be made. You know, I want to go a little further with Porzingis too, right? Because obviously he had the worst game of his Celtics career. Obviously 1-9, 4 points, 6 rebounds. They had a couple of steals or whatever, but What do you think was the biggest difference for him from game one to game two? And how do you think he gets back on track for game three?
I think they were playing him really physical, which I think was probably the right thing to do from a Miami perspective. But I also think I hope that he does make a habit of this, but I think, and I've first seen this happen to players. I mean, it's just, sometimes you just have a bad game, you know, like to me, that's kind of just what it looked like. Like he just couldn't catch a break, you know, like everything he tried just wouldn't come off. His rhythm was off. He then just started to try to force it a little bit, but he didn't do that too much. Like, which I appreciate. Like, he tried to just get back in the game a couple of times. Like, he wasn't playing hero ball or anything. And then, like, when he finally started to just try to do the easy stuff, like, that shit wasn't coming off for him either. He was just trying to get in around the bucket, trying to make easy layups and stuff. And he, like, couldn't even figure that out. He had a couple moments where he could have had, like, second chance points. And it was like, any other night, like, he touches that and it just falls in, but it, like, just rims out, you know, and you're just like, oh, dude, like, it just he was the epitome of why a big part of me, I'm mad at them, don't get me wrong, but I think why a big part of me sort of thinks, like, maybe it just wasn't our night and those things happen, because he was the embodiment of that. Like, it was just like, oh man, it's really just not your night tonight, Kristaps. Like, it's just really not your night, dude. So
yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I
but they're all shots he normally makes. You know what I mean? Like, right. it's not like he was going crazy. So
I'm like, that many, you know, the turnaround wasn't working. And once again, they, like I said, they were definitely more handsy, as they said. Like, they, like, cause the play I think you brought up earlier where, you know, they threw it into him, he got fouled there, but obviously in the playoffs, they're not going to call that type of foul. So
if you're relying on that, though, you know.
No, of course. No, I'm saying, but it's like, I think, because they knew, okay, the refs are going to slow their whistle a little bit more. Let's just see if we could toe the line. And we're going to toe the line until they, you know, they say otherwise. But what I won't what's the word I'm looking for? What I will say I'm upset about, I should say, I'm sick of the illegal screens. I'm fucking over it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they were definitely set.
Sorry. It's every fucking year with Bam, he gets away with murder with those illegal screens. Once again, hell of a player.
It's because he does it he does it around the corner every single time. So it's like harder to see, I think, from the referee's perspective, because he's screened from the line guy. He's screened by the guy he's protecting coming around the corner. So he sneaks it in like last second. And I agree with you that they're definitely fucking illegal, but it's pretty smart how he does it. Like, I think he's a pretty crafty player. You know, like I do like Bam Adebayo is the thing. Like,
I like his game too, but I'm just saying like that to me, because my thing is, it's the pulling of the arm. And once again, when you're there, like you're seeing it in person, I'm just like, okay, he's pulling on the arm or he's.
Yeah, but we have to get over that. Like, we have to be able to mentally overcome that stuff.
But you got to fucking call that though. Like, it can't happen every.
They're not gonna, but every
time. Once again, I'm not clamoring for him to get fouled out. I think you don't come to see him get fouled out. That's not what I'm saying. But give a call once or twice a game where it's like, don't fucking do that shit, bro. Because if you do, it's gonna get called, and then now you're on the bench. You know, when you should be out there for your team. So that's kind of how I see it. But you know, it is what it is. But like I'm over it, and it's just like it's insane. So you know, so we talked about KP, talked about Jaylen Brown, talked about Jason Tatum, we talked about Missoula. So just obviously we know the series decided one apiece. Game three is on Saturday night. So just what are your keys to the game going into Saturday, and then just what's the biggest adjustment that you want to see?
I want to start well. I want to set the tone. I don't want to let him in. You know, I don't want to be in a battle with Miami in the fourth quarter. I want to go out there and do what I think that this team can do, which is light a fire really, really early and have the game just get away from the Heat, because their game plan obviously yesterday for game two was like, just keep yourselves in it for three quarters. Like, just stay in the game. Don't let them get hot. Like, don't let them go on runs. Like, chip them. Get in their way, like don't let them get going, and then we'll see if we can win it in the fourth. And it worked because we let them make it work. Right. I want our game plan to be rock solid, and I want our game plan to be instituted from the jump, literally from the jump. But then again, in saying that, like what I would be saying to them in the locker room if I was Joe is like, you gotta just put that one out of your minds, guys. Like, you're still the players that you were before that game. Like, let's just go out there and show that. It doesn't matter where we are. Obviously, we need a response now. So I'm looking forward to that influencing our away performance, because we have to win. We have to win game three. And what I would be saying to them as Joe right now is like, listen, the expectations on you are the highest they could possibly be. There's no like wiggle room at the top anymore. There's no more you're young or we haven't quite got the pieces or whatever. It's like you have no excuses. So if you go out there and you try to hide on that court, everyone's going to see you, everyone's going to point at you, and everyone's going to know that you tried to hide. You got to rise to the occasion here, guys. You are the better team. And as long as you don't shrink from that fact, then we can go and get the job done in the way that we need to go and get the job done. Don't let this scrappy, well-coached team get into this. The talent has to prevail. We have to let ourselves play. Let the game come to you. Don't think about it. Get it out of your head. Just throw it out of your head. Just play your game. If everybody just plays their game to a man, we will win every single game we play against this team. Just get out of your heads. You know, just get out of your fucking heads. So with that, you know, I just hope that they can get there, because we've yet to see that.
Right. Yeah, no. So I share some of the same sentiment. Like, I obviously want the strong start. I want the ball movement to come back. I think that's something that they... when they're on, the ball is skipping.
It was around there in the first quarter.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, exactly. And even that's why I was even encouraged. I was like, man, like Miami started out hot and we was only down one, right? Like I was like, okay, like they blitzed you.
I had the same exact thought. I was literally like, oh my God, we're not even playing that well. And we're like,
and actually, they responded because the second quarter, they found a way. Jaylen Brown got caught fire. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, you know, they weathered the storm. And then obviously
at that point, I was just thinking, oh, it's a JB game. That's all. Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he had 33. So I mean, he was awesome.
Yeah, you can't blame him for that loss for sure.
Yeah, no, not at all. But I get it. You know, obviously, you know that, you know, just if anybody else has showed up, once again, Derek White had did his thing a little bit in the fourth quarter. That's another thing I'll get into too before I give my other adjustments. I said it the other night on the show that Derek White was becoming our Derek Fisher. The man just makes shots when it mattered. Yeah. And he did last night, right? Like, just the kid.
And I heard that he's going to lie about his kid's eye to move away from Boston. So he's really like Derek Fisher. Like, they're like the same person. Just kidding. He's going to stay here forever. Go ahead.
So I'm just like, man. So it's just like, wow. So sorry, as a quick aside, wow, Michael Penix goes to Atlanta. Wow. Okay. That's the first shocker on the board, I feel like.
That's pretty surprising.
Yeah.
We could potentially draft Roman Dunze right now, right?
Yep. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, we'll stay on until that. But yeah, I just think that, yeah, ball movement, you know, more attention to detail when it comes to the rotation, as you alluded to earlier in the show. And just whatever it takes, man, just whatever it takes to get the job done. Like, there's not an excuse. Once again, if everyone's healthy, it's not an excuse. Just get in there. You know, you play hard. Even if you play hard for not even the full 48, if you play hard for 45 minutes, this game is over, because you just still win by 10 or 15. So be more intentional with the passing, be more intentional with, you know, going to the basket, and be intentional with your spacing. So if you do all that, then you should be victorious on Saturday night and on Monday, like point blank period. So they definitely got that. So
also, then it's series over. You know, right. We come back to Boston, series over. So we 4-1 and we win the game. We win the series in five. And then you can look at it and say, like, well, we won that series in five. If you had it, like, obviously everybody wanted a sweep, but if you had offered me five games at the start, I would have taken it.
Right, you know, correct.
Like a little gentleman sweep, and not really, even though because we lost at home. But, like, yeah, I would have taken five, no problem.
Right. And once again, unfortunately, you know, they went six last year with the Atlanta Hawks team. Like, I was more, put it like this, I was more mad at game five last year than I was at the game last night. If that makes sense.
I was pretty mad at the game.
Guys just got stupid hot. Like you're not beating somebody when they shoot 23-3. It's not happening. You're not beating them. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
So it's not happening. So, you know, limit their shot takes. And once again, make sure that the shot margin is not as bad as it was in game two. So it is what it is. So, but like I said, I think we both have the Celtics winning in game three.
And
once again, and four, you know, so like make sure, you know, that once we drop this, that you leave in the comments what you think is going to happen. What do you want to see happen? Are you fully off the bandwagon? Are you still on?
Better still be on. Come on, it was 1-0.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be stupid. You're going to look dumb if you're off the bandwagon right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. There's a few. I got the receipts ready, believe me. So,
yeah, the internet doesn't forget.
Right, yeah. we will end this with, it's perfect timing. The Bears pick is now in at number 9. So this is what we will end with. And then we will see you next week. So let's see. So shout out to our guy, Mel Kiper, looking dapper.
Yeah. Dapper Kuiper. Who we got? It's going to be Rome. It's going to be Rome.
Yeah, it should be Rome. Yeah, it should be Rome.
I mean, it's exciting from a fan's perspective. I wanted us to make a little bit more of a practical decision at 9, but I think it's still exciting to get a guy that good, obviously.
I think I missed it, but Neighbors went 6 to New York, right?
He went 6 to New York. Yeah, correct.
Nice. Yeah, that's an excellent pickup for him, too. I think he's really good.
Who's throwing it to him? Daniel fucking Jones? See, in a few years, maybe Malik Neighbors. We'll talk about you in 3 years minimum.
Right, exactly.
Torn right ACL for Penix Jr. in 2018. That's surprising.
Well, that's
torn
why
right ACL and 2020.
Yeah, that's why he fits in with Kirk Cousins, you know?
Damn, yep. High upside, huh? High upside.
High upside, baby. Let's get it.
Let's see. What's going on? Where's the pick? They said the pick was in.
Did Booger McFarland play for y'all?
Right.
He played. He got the orange and blue one. Like he.
Man, that convention center looks cool though, or wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, like screens and graphics. It's like outside in the middle of the parking lot.
Actually. You know, it's downtown.
All right, here we go with the number 9 pick
in
the NFL draft.
Here we go.
Come on,
Rod. There you go.
Yo, nice. Our offense is fucking stacked. Absolutely stacked. This is the best Bears offense that I've ever seen in my life already on paper. Quite frankly,
we're absolutely shredded from top to bottom. Like, our offense is fucking absolutely dripping in talent. It's crazy.
And they all seem cool as fuck. I hope they all go out, have a cool steak dinner or something soon.
I mean, this is an exciting time. It's an exciting time to be a Bears fan. Now we just got to see. I'll tell you this. They've left Caleb Williams nowhere to hide. If you can't come in and do it with all these guys, then you're not the guy that everybody said you were. So, like, let's see.
Right.
We're still going to be run heavy. We're obviously still going to be run heavy. That's how the Bears play. It's how this offense is set up, is run the ball and stop the run. That's always been the Bears'
philosophy. Got our first trade. So New York traded back one spot for
us. So they're getting JJ right now. The Vikings are about to draft JJ McCarthy at 10.
So this is what we're ending with. We're ending with this here. And
the Vikings are about to trade. And, like, this is a great day for me because I know this is a bust. So I'm really happy that they're about to do this. This is awesome.
And then just keep in mind, like I said, we would say this at the beginning, but if this is your first time listening, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. Follow us on all social media platforms. Once again, we're getting back in the game right now with that. So follow us on MTP_pod on Instagram and on Twitter, or /X. And, you know, make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube because we are dropping more content for that ass. So make sure that you so let's get
some
it.
Content on that ass.
Content on that ass, baby. So make sure you get locked in. You know, so I love that. So, yeah, come on. Let's see what Minnesota picks. We know who you're going to pick right now. So,
come on. I like to see the Bears jersey get held up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, even if Caleb doesn't work out at this point, like, we're so fucking stacked offensively. Like, just bring in an old hands. You know, like, see if Russell Wilson flames out halfway through the year. Just be like, fuck it, Russell, just come in. You've always wanted to come to Chicago.
So I think they'll draft JJ now. I think the Jets are going to draft Bowers from Georgia.
That's a good pickup for them. That'll make them a lot better, actually. I don't know what Rodgers is going to look like, to be honest, but
yeah. But I mean, just
potentially be a winning team next year. You don't know
for sure. So we will see. So come on, Minnesota, so we can wrap this up. It's like Minnesota. Hey, he got
Rome doesn't talk the way I thought he was going to talk.
He got that new Jack City suit on, though, man. Woof.
What a movie.
Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am.
Have you seen King of New York?
Yes.
Fucking such a good movie. Beautiful. Just like Christopher Walken and fucking Lawrence Fishburne going bananas in New York City. It's fucking great. So good.
Same thing with that movie Hoodlum, too.
That one's a good one.
That's a great one. Yeah, Bumby Johnson. Yeah, you know.
You seen Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai?
I have not seen that.
Dude, you got to watch that movie.
I was, yeah.
It's Forrest Whitaker literally thinks he's a samurai.
You get it all here on MTP. You get sports. You get great movie references.
I mean, you got to watch Ghost Dog.
Jack of all trades, baby.
Ghost Dog's a little weird because it's a Jim Jarmusch movie, and all Jim Jarmusch movies are a little weird, but it's Forrest Whitaker at the peak of his powers, just living in the hood and practicing the lifestyle of a samurai. It's fucking sick. You have to watch it. You'll love it. I promise. Everybody loves it whenever I recommend it to people.
Yeah,
prime Forrest Whitaker. All right, we got a commercial break.
Trust your film knowledge there, so I will definitely have to.
I promise you'll like it. You just got to give it like a nice quiet space to actually watch it.
Text me the title again when we're off there, and I'll send you
a link. What's your streaming service of choice these days?
I've been having on Paramount Plus, but I don't know if they have it.
Paramount Plus is good. This one's on Tubi, which is free.
Love that. If it's free, it's for me.
I'll send you a link. This is good podcasting right now. Me sending
it. Great podcast. Great podcast. we're giving somebody else a recommendation too that hadn't heard it. So if you haven't heard of it or haven't seen it, so.
Oh, I hope everybody that's watching this goes talking to fucking fire films.
Yeah. now is that. So I'm looking at the bottom of the screen. So the guy you were talking about from UCLA, Latu, that's his name. Latu.
Yeah.
That's the guy. So,
Does he got what the Vikings just take? Oh, no, you're just.
No, I'm saying like he was in best available. So I was like, I just couldn't remember his name. But
I wanted him. I'm not upset with Rome, though. I mean, our wide receiver room is absolutely outrageous right now. So,
yeah, I mean, shoot, getting to learn from Keenan Allen, it's going to be.
I mean, what bridge players we have, you know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable. And also, we got a good secondary tight end, too. Like, Cole Kmet had his best season last season. Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely think we might actually be able to win football games this year. It's going to be so exciting. I mean, that's been so long for me since I've watched that happen.
actually make it worth it to get Sunday ticket. You know what I mean? Come on, Minnesota. Just take JJ. Hey, so laugh at you and sign up.
It's some damn TV timeouts. Come on.
That is what's happening right now. It's a commercial.
Yeah, I hate it. But it's okay. They got a good movie referral in that time process. So, you know.
And you did.
The fans should be happy about that. Man, they just showed that picture of Buffalo. Shit, if I'm Buffalo, I'm drafting like four receivers this draft.
Like, I know.
Gabe Davis gone. You trade Diggs. Like, I'm just like, man. Oh.
What are they going to do next year? Yeah, I guess they probably.
I don't know. It becomes wide open again. I'll tell you that. Because they had a hold on a division since, you know, Brady left, but there's no way they have a chokehold on it now. And once again, Aaron Rodgers is a wild card, you know, because you don't know where he's going to be coming back from that injury. So,
what do you think that what's his name? Fucking Harbaugh's strategy was, like, bigging up McCarthy to everybody, just get him to get drafted higher, just because he was
probably.
Maybe there was a chance that he. That the Chargers trade out and you know, trade the number one overall pick or Herbert to the Bears for one and just get JJ at one. I thought that there was a world where that might happen. It would have been pretty absurd. But I don't know. He kind of convinced me for a second that maybe he was really, like, actually going to go get his guy from college. Maybe. But he's got Justin Herbert in there. That would have been the right choice. Like,
I'm glad they went tackle there with them. Not for a minute. I'm talking for LA,
you got to
protect Herbert there. You got to. Yeah. So,
all right, here we go. Pick is in number 10.
This is what we end off for tonight. So make it a good one.
You happy about Drake, man?
Big time. I'm about to watch like in the same amount of highlights when we get off. Even more than I was watching before.
Same way about Caleb, I think. I think I've seen all the highlights at this point.
I can't wait to the introduction press conference. It's probably going to be either tomorrow or Monday. So,
problem with this is it feels so far away from the start of the season.
Oh, well, I mean, no, OTA start coming up, and it's like, and man, listen, every mini camp, every training camp before we know it, man. So,
that's true. I'm going to be really interested in the training camp, like, reports this year, too, obviously.
Yeah. Just I'm actually going to probably go up to one, so.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've never been, so I want to see. Just gotta make sure I find some shade.
Come on into the division, JJ. Come on in. It's not like it's shark infested waters at this point.
Right.
It's not like it's full blown four good teams, right? I mean, I feel like Minnesota were the best team in the NFC North for a few years, and now they're just the fourth best, I think, going into next season. Am I crazy to say that?
Listen. They got the best receiver, I feel like, still.
Really?
I love Justin Jefferson. But, you know, it's got to be more. Yeah, I mean,
About to find out.
We'll find out. So let's
see. Some bullshit beforehand. Hold on. Oh, it's the piece. My bad.
It's like, some like.
I was like, we're doing some bullshit. Hold on. They were like, their father made a heroic sacrifice. By dying for his country, I was like, ooh, whoops, maybe it's not some bullshit. My bad. Ooh. Sorry about that, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Him off the fucking stage. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. I love it. That's so funny. Wow. Oh, my gosh. That is great.
This lady who's like husband dad, I guess, is going to announce it. Yeah, oh, no. It's the kid. I just made fun of her dead dad, but the kid. Sorry about that.
I know, geez, I get it, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, they are dragging this shit out.
Yeah, they really milked that. They really milked that bitch. All right, JJ, welcome to the NFC North, JJ, you son of a bitch. Oh my God, he's gonna get absolutely eaten alive. This is gonna be great.
It's gonna be great. There you go. So okay, there you go. Skull, baby, skull city. Let's get it. But yeah, so like I said, that's, you know, anything else we touch on before we get out of here?
I'm good. I'm going to go watch some Caleb Williams tape.
Sounds good. So, yeah. So, once again, hit that subscribe button. Like I said, thank you for tuning in. Like I said, this is a little different for us doing stuff in the actual moment. So, you know, we can, you know, see if we can do this again at some point for sure. But this was fun. So, he's DK Sizzle. I'm Hollywood Rayshon Buchanan. Until next time, we'll see you. Peace.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electrocast.
Ever thought about starting your own podcast? Do you have a business or a message you want to share with the world?
Well, now it's easier than ever with Electrocast. Hi, I'm Mark Netter.
And I'm Peter Rafelson. We're the founders of Electrocast Media.
Whether you want to start a new podcast or already have one, join Electrocast to grow your audience, monetize your content, and build your community.
With our simple sign-up, you get free promotion, world-class analytics, premium ads, and personal support.
Go to Electrocast.com and join our community today.
Electrocast, transform your influence.
Electrocast. Electrocast.